Welcome, everybody, and I'm going to talk today with Danny Barrera. He's the lead singer of a group called Mar Lento, and I've seen them live in Guadalajara. And it's funny because I stood in line for quite a while to get my picture taken with Danny, and you'll see why that's funny in just a moment. And today, we're going to weave together how language and music and feelings and purpose are all connected, but more than anything, how you can't let a fear of mistakes stop you from using your voice. So now, on with the show. I'm Bianca, your personal American accent coach, and I'm here to help you master an American accent in English because your voice is your choice when it comes to how you sound. I try to release a podcast episode every 2 weeks, and so you should really subscribe to whatever podcast platform you use so that you don't miss the newest episode. And by the way, if you want to see the full video of the episode, it's available at Accent Coach Bianca on YouTube. Welcome, everybody. It's so nice to have you listening today. I want to introduce you guys to Danny, who is not just a friend, but I consider a family member because since I've been in Mexico, his family kind of adopted me. And it's really funny because, you know, I knew him for a few years before somebody said, hey, do you want tickets to this concert? And there's Danny on stage with a band. And I had no idea. And I'm like, whoa, this guy's really famous. Let me get him on my podcast so we can talk about music, because also, we had never really spoken in English, I think, until today. And I knew on the concert, I knew that you were singing in English. So I thought, how did I not even know this? So I want to introduce you guys to Danny. Actually, I'm going to let him introduce himself. And today we're going to talk about the relationship between music in Spanish and English and how his process is in thinking about writing lyrics and, you know, and singing too, and what that's like in terms of language and accent. So first of all, Danny, can you introduce yourself to everybody so they know who you are?
Of course. Hello, everybody. I am Daniel Barrera. I'm a family member of Bianca. We met each other now years now.
Yeah.
And lately, we bumped each other in the here and there.
In the city, yeah. Sometimes we're out and we're like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Yeah, that's true.
I'm a father of a 27-year-old guy, and I'm a singer also. I have a band. The name of my band is Mar Lento. We will talk about the mixture of these two words in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm the singer. I'm very glad to be here with you guys and try to make something fun of this interaction.
Exactly. I think to me, you know, a lot of people study English in school and it's kind of not the greatest experience. And so, but language is fun. Like you've turned it into something. Maybe just for a quick second, we can talk about, before we talk about the name and the language, what was your experience with the language, with English, I'll say, growing up? And what was that like for you?
Okay, at the beginning, well, because my mother was an American. And so since I remember, you know, she was speaking to me in English and kind of forcing us to speak in English, you know, praying in English. So at the beginning, it was not that fun. You know, I kind of not like, she always was behind us trying for us to speak in English. The reality is that looking back, now I'm so grateful, you know, because, you know, now I know the language enough to feel at least confident to give it a try, let's say, talking and writing in English, or the advantages of working in a company because I know English. Mm-hmm. And so it's been so helpful. It's been just a door to the world to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And and also doing the combination with music, because in my house, all the music that we listened to, it was my mom's, the Beatles, you know, Cream. So I grew up listening to that, and I just fell in love with songs in English. That's what happened.
Oh, that's so interesting. I actually didn't know that. And also being where we are in Mexico too, there's a big mariachi tradition, right? There's a lot of very strong Mexican music culture, and you had both. So it probably influenced you. You had the language, you had the music, right? And it all kind of came together. And what's the name of your group? I remember when I went to the concert, I saw it on the screen. And I was thinking to myself, is this one word? Is it two words? Is it like a play on words? Is it a joke in Spanish that I don't get? Right? So maybe you can describe the name of the group and how it translates, and even if there's a story behind it.
Well, It's more the meaning, the story. It was more like we didn't find a name. We just needed a name. So it came as a necessity, really. Everybody was proposing names that I didn't like. And because most of the things we did at the time, it was me coming with the songs. So I thought it was important for me to come up with a name. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but after nights of list of names, I like how this combination of words sounded. Is Mar Lento. Uh-huh. One word is mar, which uh-huh. is ocean or sea, the sea. Mm-hmm. Lento means slow. Mm-hmm. So I like the meaning, but most of it, I have to say, I like how it sounded, the phonetic of the word I liked. Ah. And then when I had to go to the meaning, it, you know, it justified. I said, it's okay. Mm-hmm. A slow mm-hmm. sea, a yeah. slow ocean. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the kind of music I like to do. That's yes. how I said, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the name. Mm-hmm. But first of all, I like how it sounded.
Ah, that's so important. Yeah, exactly. Like you have to kind of connect, I think, with the sounds of things, you know, like, I don't know if you're naming a child or a business or something like that, like you have to enjoy it. You have to like it. You have to make sure it rolls off your tongue really well. It's not difficult to pronounce, you know, and then it has meaning too. And I remember at the concert, I remember the graphics behind you were very like sea and ocean and flowy and relaxed and calm yes. and chill, and like that was just the whole vibe, you know, around yes. there too. So it makes perfect sense, you know. And to use that as a kind of a bridge to our first main topic is thinking about words and meaning and how they sound. Can you tell us a little bit about your kind of songwriting process? Because I remember that the songs are predominantly in Spanish, but there's a lot of English lyrics in there, you know? And so how does that come about? Like, when do you think, oh, I'm going to do this in English? Or yeah, tell us a little more about that if you can.
Yes, of course. I have to say, when I realized I wanted to do this, I remember I learned the guitar, and more than learning the guitar, I wanted to do a song. I wanted to compose songs. Mm. But that distracted me. I noticed as soon as I learned two chords, I went yeah. straight to do the song, and I went straight to English. And the reason is, since I remember, I listened to music in English because in the house we were hearing that. Then because my mom was talking in English to us all the time, I end up knowing the language. You know, what I'm trying to say is I could love the language and I could love the songs and I could be interested in songs and doing them. That's a lot of different things. But then I could have not learned or know English and I have to go look for something else. Mm-hmm. But what happened in my case is that by the time I realized I want to do music, I went straight to English because that's my interest in focus on all the time. Very mm-hmm. organically. I never felt that I chose, should I do it in English or in Spanish? Uh-huh. I love Spanish, but I dreamed about doing it in English because the people that I admire, I love their songs. So mm-hmm. I want to do that. I want to try to do that. And I think I know enough English to give it a try. That's how I felt, I remember. Mm-hmm.
It just kind of came out that way. Yeah, it sounds like it just happened that way. And you said you learned some chords and stuff. How old are we talking now? When did you start this, like learning guitar and starting to compose your own songs?
That's an interesting question for me because usually people start very young and I was already 25 almost. I was very old. And here comes a little story that I remember. I remember loving music since I was 9 years old and I have my first Kiss album because a neighbor gave me this Kiss album. I don't know why it came to me, but he gave it to me, and that's where it started, no? Yes. So I'm going to go straight to 25 because it took me a long, long time to realize I wanted to do it. I would say I love songs. I love listening to a song. I remember it was very specific when I liked a song, even if I was young. It was listening to the songs. It was not just a general music thing. It was, I like this song and it was important to me. So the first I remember that I love this so much, it was with Depeche Mode. okay?
Oh, yeah, and I remember
what
that.
What I'm trying to say is in Mexico, everybody was or either playing a guitar or the drums. It was a very rock and roll thing. But I didn't even imagine how Depeche Mode do their music. You know, it was synthesizers. So it was never a thing like, I'm going to do this. I had no idea that it was possible. So it mm-hmm. never came. Mm-hmm. So it took me so long that by 25, I remember that I moved to Seattle. And I was there by accident because some friends lived there. So I went there at the moment, all this grunge thing and Pearl Jam and all these bands were mm-hmm. happening there. But it was not my interest. Even I was just in the place where a lot of music happened. And then I learned the guitar. And then I realized I'm going to stay here. This is what I'm going to do in my life. I felt it right away.
Wow. That
I write a song and I liked it. I liked the feeling of doing it. But it was 25. I thought it was very old. It was mm-hmm. actually, it was a, like a conflict. Like, how am I going to do this now? You know, it's, am I crazy? You know, I'm so old to try to do this. But then, you know, I just couldn't stop doing it. So I grabbed the guitar and tried to write a song and did it again. And then I have three songs and I like how it sounded. And I thought, well, I'm not ashamed to share this. So I keep going. Well, I keep going. I never stopped. I'm 53, so it's a long time ago.
It's been a while now. Yeah, more than half your life now, finally. Yeah. You're like, you can say like, okay, I've been doing this for a while now. And that makes me think, okay, I was looking at this the wrong way because I thought, you know, there's so much Spanish in there. I thought that the English was more of like an accent. Like, oh, I'm going to throw in some words here. But really for you, it feels like it's more rooted in English. So now, talk to us a little bit about like the Spanish part of the lyrics. Maybe is that because of the band? Is it because of the audience? That kind of thing. And then we'll talk about the phonetics and things like that. And we'll talk about like how you feel about those things.
Okay. Well, actually, I don't think I have lyrics in Spanish. Everything's in English.
Oh, everything.
I tried it because my band kind of invite me to, you know, why don't we try it in Spanish? We can, something could happen in our country. And I said, well, of course, let me try it. But when I tried it, I would love to do it in Spanish. But then I realized it was never my dream. I never dream of doing anything musically in Spanish. My interest is in this specific zone of bands, mostly from Europe. I don't know why. You know, sometimes I feel maybe in my other life I was somewhere there because it's a very specific interest in, especially in the bands from England and Belgium. I just love that music. I don't know why. I just feel an attraction and I love it.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not trying to pretend that I'm a Mexican and I love being here and I love my country. I felt very honest that I'm going to give it a try because I love this. You know, and then I tell the guys from my band, you know, I don't feel it. I don't feel like doing it in Spanish. I struggle because everything I heard in my life, mostly 80%, it's in English. So when I try to do it in Spanish, it comes the challenge. I don't like how it sounds in me. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable because I feel that I'm trying very hard to make it sound, and I don't feel that it's me.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and it's just not quite right. And it makes sense the way you're describing it. It makes sense because normally a person would think like, you know, Spanish is your first language. That's what's going to come to you. But you're like, no, it just doesn't. It just doesn't. You don't feel it. It doesn't come out. You know, that way. And you said, okay, let me give this a try. And still it just didn't quite mesh the way that it wanted to come out. And you said, which I love, it's a very niche, it's a very small, specific kind of music, right? Which is amazing because either you love it or you don't. That way you can find like your really true fans and you know what clicks for you and what doesn't. And there's something else you said that I think is interesting for our listeners, is that this idea of, I wasn't ashamed to share it, right? I feel more comfortable in this language. And that's something that a lot of people will tell me too, when they're speaking English as a second language, they're like, you know, I'm just not as funny as I normally am, or my jokes don't like land in the same way. So it's partly like that level of comfort, that feeling that we have, that confidence that we have, can make us really just so much better and so much more willing to try. Because one thing that most people will not do is just record themselves so they can hear how they sound. So I imagine you've done a fair bit of that. You've heard yourself, you've heard recordings of yourself. So maybe that can be a way for us to talk about the sounds, you know, the vowels and the consonants, you know, and when you're listening to yourself in English and singing, what do you get from that? How does it sound to you, right? Do you think, oh, I got to do another take for that? Or let me rewrite these lyrics so that it flows better, like when we were talking about how the name kind of flows nicely. What are your thoughts on the specifically the phonetics, the sounds, I should say pronunciation, the sounds of the vowels and the consonants? Can you tell us anything about that?
Yes, I'm going to try to put it in words because I thought about it. And when I knew we were going to talk about this, I thought about it more. Mm-hmm. But let's say I'm singing a song in the studio and I'm recording it. And of course, I hear myself and I know that I'm aware that it's not perfect. So I stopped trying, like forcing the pronunciation. So mm-hmm. because I'm afraid it may look phony. So I just try to be me and do it the best that I can. But with that in my mind, I feel that it translates in that feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. I know that if you record something with your heart, you can hear that. And if you record it phony, you can hear that. It just transmits. So I really have to think, and I'm going to do my best. Mm-hmm. I know that my English is not perfect, but I think that my story and my lyric and my work will mm-hmm. speak up, and I feel confident enough to give it a try. And after 3 or 4 takes, I say, well, I feel comfortable mm-hmm. with this. So I let it go. Then going back to the technical, the vowels and what you were asking me, I feel that in Spanish, it's the language is more sharp, you know, it's abrupt. It's sharp. The pronunciation mm-hmm. is just as the word is just as it sounds, not Marlento, and you can hear the R very sharp. And in English, it's like the corners are rounded, you know, like soft. It works better with melody.
This is really interesting. I bet nobody's really thought of this. Anybody who's listening to this, because when I think of the pronunciation in Spanish versus English, generally I'm thinking of the spelling, right? And when I look at the spelling in Spanish, like, it's transparent, it's clear. If there's an R, you say an R, right? If there's, it's really kind of an easy language to learn to speak. My trouble is that, you know, I'm coming from English. And for example, in English, we have so many vowels. So when I read something in Spanish, my spelling brain kicks in. I say, oh, well, this is an E and an A, so this is how I'm supposed to say it. But no, in Spanish, you just follow the rules. There's like 5 vowels and that's it. My problem is I have to kind of reduce my vowel inventory, right, in Spanish. But no, I just keep saying all the vowels. And so I know that's part of why I don't sound, you know, like I'm from here. And people will ask me, oh, where are you from, you know? But what you said, I think, is probably the most important thing, which is it's coming from the heart. And you say, mistakes don't matter. Who cares? Good enough. You know, like if you're editing a song or I'm editing a video, I'm writing a script or something, you're like, I can always make it better. I can always make it better. I can always make it better. But there's got to be a point where you're like, good enough, right? This is good. I'm comfortable enough with this to put it out there in the world, like mistakes and all. And, you know, somebody might say something because there's always somebody out there who's going to say something.
Yes.
But the point is that you had the heart to do it. You had the courage to do it when so many people don't, you know, and that's super, super powerful. And the other thing that you mentioned was like how you kind of think of this sharpness versus this roundness, right? Like, for example, let's take the letter T in English. And when the T is at the end of a word, we have a lot of variation, right? I can say t, or I can do what we call a flap T, right? Like in the word water, I can do a tea that what we call is unreleased. So I can kind of make a tea with my tongue, but I don't let the air out. Or sometimes we have this thing we call a glottal stop. For example, if I say a mountain or don't, then it's got that to it, right? And so I think when you described it as having kind of a roundness, there's like a flexibility almost in English that you don't get with Spanish. And maybe that lends itself better to like either your kind of music or how you write it or how it comes to you, you know, and how you mix it up. Would you say that that's accurate?
I think it's very accurate. I notice all the time because in Spanish, the words, if I have an idea and the words are kind of, there's a lot of words for this idea. So my line goes so long, and in English, I can say four words and the idea goes through. And it blends with the melody very, you know, very softly. When I tried in Spanish, when I did that, and I have an idea for a metaphor of the song, you know, I'm singing la, 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 la. And then I have this idea, like a visual idea, and I try to do it in Spanish. And there's a lot of words for this, you know, the poetic side of it. It gets complicated for me. And then if I try it in English, you know, less words, same idea. More softness for the melody. That's how
How you're describing the softness is maybe like the, so if we're talking about, oh, to you the Spanish kind of sounds sharp, but then the melody's soft, that doesn't quite mix together well, right? So I think what you're saying is that the flexibility and the rounded edges of the sounds in English kind of go better together with the music behind the words, maybe, and maybe the melody, right, and the rhythm and things like that. So that's why that's why it might sound better, like a better mix, right? Otherwise, it might sound like disconnected in a way, you know?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then this will bring me to the little explanation about this has to do, in my case, the why I'm doing it in the lyric to the music, because a lot of songwriters may start with the writing, they do the writing, then the music. It's less people that do that. I'm more of the ones, is first is the music, then I have the melody, and I have to match my lyric to that music in the first place. So I'm kind of giving more respect to the melody, and my writing has to respect that melody. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want the lyric to be the protagonist. I want the writing to blend and the melody and the music takes charge. I see it that way.
That's also really interesting because let's say you're not a person who grew up speaking English. Their mom didn't speak to them, right? They learned English in school and now they come to somebody like me and they say, I want to sound better. I want to sound more like myself. You know, I want to be more clear. I want a better job. For whatever reason, that most people will immediately think, oh, pronunciation, right? I'm not speaking clearly. It's got to be pronunciation. But there are other people who realize that, maybe if I work on what we call prosody, like when you say melody, for me, it's prosody. Maybe I need to work on my rhythm in English or my intonation in English, right? Or my syllable stress. And that's the music behind the language. So very often what people don't realize is you can make a lot of pronunciation mistakes, but if your melody is good, right, people will still, at least Americans, will still pick up on that because they hear the music behind the words. For example, let's say you're watching TV and the TV is really loud, or your neighbor is watching TV and the volume is up really loud and you can hear the neighbor has the TV on. Well, you can kind of tell, like, is it a fight scene, right? Is it a romance scene? Is it comedy? You can rah, 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 you can hear that background noise and you can get a really good idea of what somebody is trying to say, even if the words aren't perfect.
Correct.
So that goes back to what you were saying earlier too. And a lot of people also don't realize, so there's pronunciation, there's prosody, and then there's things like breathing and breath and where do I pause and, oh my God, American English, guys, you have all this connected speech. Where am I supposed to breathe? And they kind of run out of breath sometimes, right? Yes. Which I assume is the same in the music, right? So if you're doing the music first, you probably already have the pauses, and that means you know how to do the middle.
Yes, and just following to what you say is because following the music, that's the fun part of my process in songwriting. I get to choose those words. I have the idea, no? I usually have this visual idea, you know, so the guy is running down the street, whatever. But how am I going to say it? And it has to match the phonetic to the melody. So I can choose words. And I love that, you know. Oh, this word works better than this. And I try it with this, with this, with other different words. And then I found one that is maybe not very common, but it works. And, you know, and the story is...
Oh, that's a really good point, too. Now we're talking about really vocabulary, too. Like, what's just the right word I want to use? Because a lot of people who learned English as a second language in school, right, they're like, oh, I need more academic words. I need fancy words. But they don't also realize that there's a difference between fancy words that nobody uses and the perfect word for this situation, or maybe even an idiom or something like that. And they don't realize that, like, it's not always about more. It's always about better, right? And how can I communicate better in this way? And I think songwriting and music is a really great example of, like, distilling everything down to just what needs to be there, right? To make the perfect thing, if that makes sense to you.
It does make sense. I think I take very seriously to be responsible of what I'm writing. And if I nail it, you know, and I think, oh, this is a great line, and I like how it sounds, and then I finish the lyric, let's say. But I feel a great pleasure in having to choose and being responsible that this lyric can help someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I take it very serious, the language. That's when I justify that I know my language is not perfect, but I know I can do it better in the recording because I can repeat until I get it. Mm-hmm. But then, because I take very seriously that what I'm writing respects the language, and if it's going to traduce to somebody and can read it, and, you know, you are a Native American and you can read it, this guy accent is weird, but the line is beautiful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's not saying it right, but this line justifies.
That's not what matters. Yeah.
I take it seriously, the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the singing. And I know I have to learn more about the pronunciation. But, you know, I can keep learning.
Exactly. That's such a good point. Yes. Like, for example, me in Spanish, right? I make mistakes all day long. I am here to tell you. But, like, if I'm on the bus, can I get off at the right station? Sure can. So I did my job, right? And so I'll learn more as I go. And I'm not afraid to try, you know, and get it wrong. The point is, you can always get better. The point is, like, you're connecting with people, because that's what language is for. Language is for connecting with people. The way you described it, there's a couple of terms too. We have, so for example, words have purpose, right? I have a reason that I'm saying this. If I said to you, let's say, where were you last night, right? It's all about how I say it, right? If I say, oh, where were you last night, right? Friendly conversation. I'm curious, right? I'm like, well, where were you last night? Now I sound like I'm making an accusation, you know, things like that. So we have this rhetorical purpose behind my words. Oh, I'm doing something. I'm accusing you, right? I'm making conversation. I'm showing love, right? There's things I'm doing with my words, which I'm sure is important in your songwriting. You're like, what's the purpose of this line? Why is it here, right? And the other side of that for us in intonation is the feeling behind it, right? And maybe that feeling is coming from your word choice, or maybe it's coming from the music behind it, or maybe it's even just, you know, the notes that you're singing those words at. Do you know what I mean? Like, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean. It makes sense. And I think it's both, you know.
The other thing that's behind our words is often the emotions, right? So how do I feel about it? Or how do I make somebody else want to feel it? And maybe for you in music, that can be what? That can be the music, literally, that's behind the words. Or it could be also the pitch, the notes that you're singing for the words and the syllables, if that makes sense.
It makes it makes sense. And that's part of the fun process of songwriting, I believe. All those little things, all that you just said, how am I going to say it, you know? Or, for example, the music is already melancholic, you know? Mm-hmm. I like it, but it's kind of sad. So I'm not going to write a sad lyric, because then it's too much. If the melody is melancholic and it's kind of sad, I'm going to do something that is lifting, you know? So it has a good balance. Like good songs, I don't know, it reminds me, like, Every Day is Like Sunday from Morrissey.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
they sound very, very nice on a Sunday. Then you check out the lyric and you found the funny part and the sarcasm. And I love that combination, you know?
Uh-huh.
As long as I didn't know what he was saying, it was so nice, the Sunday. And then I see the black humor he uses. I thought that's genius, you know? That I like those things possible with language.
How you can play with it, exactly,
yes.
Right? So if we're talking about, like, okay, actual music, right? You're like, here's a song by Morrissey. Imagine if you had only the lyrics in front of you and you didn't hear the music in the background, you would maybe think one thing.
Yes.
Opposite, maybe you heard just the music, but not actually the lyrics. Maybe you could turn those down somehow, like in a karaoke version, let's say, right? You might have two different interpretations of what the song will be. And that's exactly what I think we mean when we say, like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Forget about pronunciation, but it's about the delivery, right? And how
yes.
we can play with those things. You know, for example, we can take a line and we can say, like, I didn't take the phone. 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 Boom. We can have so many different options, you know, just in
yes.
that. And for you, that could be syllable stress is longer. Maybe you hold the note longer, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you have a rest or a pause. There's so many things I think you can play with in music, just like you can play with in your speech. And a lot
yes.
of people don't realize that, right? They just kind of speak like a robot. They speak very mechanically. And then, of course, you can't express yourself if that's the case, you know?
I agree. I agree. Yes, yes, yes. And it happens a lot with me. Like I said, I think this is the fun part. Anybody who writes lyrics, this is the fun part. I think even in any language, you know, the way you say it, you know, sometimes you are just humming,
mm-hmm.
and it can be angry hum, or it can be a nice hum, you
mm-hmm,
know, like
mm-hmm.
a smile kind of,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
very
something behind this.
Yes.
Oh, totally. Is there anything
yes.
that you feel like we missed that you want to make sure to put in there?
Well, I was waiting for the last topic, which is the rhythm, but it kind of goes back to the same thing, you know, because in combining it with music, it's all about the rhythm, you know, how am I going to point to that wave, to surf that wave, you know, how am I going to jump in it, how am I going to do it? And so the rhythm in words going to the part where I have no music, you know, but I like the line. I love this metaphor, you know, I have to make it. It has to make it into a song. And the only thing I have when there's no music around and no guitar is the rhythm, you know? Is that jumping, is that rhythm that it's going to impact whatever I'm going to do in the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the meaning of that line, you know? If it's an angry line, it's going to end up in a punk rock song or whatever. And if it's a nice, loving metaphor, well, maybe it's going to be a slower rhythm.
Mm-hmm, more of a ballad or something. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It takes you almost to feeling like if you're dancing, no? But, you know, I know the rhythm and the language is very different of what I'm trying to say, but I don't know how to put it in words. Maybe you can help me there.
Well, I was going to say words are and language are so amazing, but they're also very limiting because I have all these thoughts and feelings in my head and we just don't have enough language sometimes, right? You're always looking for that perfect word or whatever, and sometimes it doesn't exist. So being bilingual, for example, gives you access to both of those. And sometimes
yes.
you say, yeah, that doesn't really translate. Or I imagine speaking about rhythm, like the language, Spanish versus English, right? Spanish is what we call a syllable stress language, right? And the syllables are all pretty even. And in English, though, no, like we stretch and we compress and we do so much more with the rhythm at the level of the syllable and at the level of the word, too. So maybe in some instances, you might think this is a little more rigid, the Spanish. It works better for certain things. And in English, maybe it works better for other things. I can play with it. I can control it, right? I can make something a little longer or not. And I can emphasize it, you know, or I can de-emphasize it and make it faster, like you said. Because lately, so I don't know if you know this, Denny, but I do a masterclass every month. On the last Thursday of the month, I have a free masterclass. Anybody who wants can come and join. So
okay.
every month is a different topic. And there's at least 2 months where we talk about rhythm, just rhythm. Forget syllable stress and intonation. Those are all different topics. But this year, I kind of stumbled on this new way to teach rhythm in English. You're going to love this. By okay. looking at music and literally the time signatures of music, right?
Okay.
And saying, okay. is this more, like you said, is this more of a waltzy kind of sound? Is it more of a march? Is it more of a rock sounding sentence because it's like one, two, three, four?
Yeah,
or is it like one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three? How is the rhythm of this sentence sounding? Because I feel like in English, we change that timing all the time, and maybe related to how I'm feeling or something like that. So I really get what you're saying right now. And to tell people that are listening, like, the musicality of languages is so different. And once you can get that, right, a lot of people think of pronunciation first, but I would encourage people to start thinking about the music behind the language as driving, you know, the message more than anything, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And mm-hmm. I agree with you on that one. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell us about in terms of your process or anything like that?
There's like so many branches of this. And I love talking when I have a chance of this, the songwriting, that it's like when I grab my guitar and they say, can you play us a song? And I just blank. I don't remember any of the songs,
mm-hmm.
the ones that I write, the ones that are cover versions that I like. I just, nothing comes up. So I just know that I love the language in English. I feel that it was very rooted, natural interest. I could have chosen another interest, but it's this type of music that is in English, and I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I learned a lot from those lyrics.
Mm.
And I think that I learned a lot from big artists like Leonard Cohen, which is, he's mm-hmm. a master in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always feel like, I cannot be that wrong learning to do lyrics by watching his lyrics.
Yeah, no way.
I have mm-hmm. to take it more seriously. No,
mm-hmm.
but I love the language. I love the language in Spanish as well. For example, I have a band that I love very much. They are from Spain. This is like an 80s band. It's called Mecano. And I love them so much, but I never dreamed of doing a song like that. I just mm-hmm. love it. Mm-hmm. And it's different in English. I love it and I dream of doing it. I don't have information to do a lyric in Spanish because it's so little.
Mm-hmm.
But in
mm-hmm.
English, I have all these choices, that all this music that I listen to through all my life. So I have a lot of options. And then I stopped struggling with if I should do it in Spanish. I stopped. I said, you guys, I love doing it in English. I don't think I want to do it in Spanish, maybe in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm. You tried. It didn't work for you. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I think maybe probably the concert that I saw probably had some of those Spanish in it. I don't know if you were just testing it out, because also, remember, my hearing is not great. I'm deaf in one ear. So I could have been hearing like a lot of echo and stuff and just thinking, well, if I don't understand it, it must be Spanish, right? But maybe it was in English this one time that I went. So that could have been the case the whole time.
Or my accent.
I mean, it's a possibility. It's always a possibility. I literally, last night I went to a concert. Do you know Jacob Collier? Have you heard of him?
No, you told me, but I don't know who he is. No.
Yes. I mean, he speaks British English. Small stage. And still, I couldn't understand a lot of what he was saying. I think because of the way the sound bounces around the room and everything like that, you know? So, yeah, even in English as well, like, sometimes I just don't catch what's being said, you know? And I think, like, I just presumed it's in Spanish. And then I was catching a lot of lines that were in English. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I got that. And so for me, that first experience was like, oh, this is perfect. Let's talk about this, you know, not even knowing that the vast majority, the crushing majority of your songs are completely in English. Yes. And so before we say thank you to everybody who's here, how can people find your music? Like, where can we, I don't know, see it or hear it? I know you do concerts here in Guadalajara, so if people are around, you know, we'll add the links to where you can get the next show. But in the meantime, where can people find you?
They can find us on all the platforms, Spotify, Tidal, YouTube Music, Apple Music. I think we are in all the platforms. Our name is Marlento. I think we're going to leave some links.
So absolutely, yeah. All those links will be down in the description.
Everybody are invited to check us out.
Absolutely. Like, I think if our listeners are listening today, they already know your passion. It's already coming through, right? They're like, I want to listen to more things in English. I want to listen to a new kind of music, see if this specific style is for me. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to like listen to something new, you know? So we'll put all those links down there. And what you just said, not even 2 minutes ago, I think you said, oh my God, I can think of so many things to say. Maybe you and I will have another podcast episode that we can do as well, you know, when we're thinking about vocabulary or something like that. You know, that could be really interesting also for our listeners as well.
I will love it. Anytime, just tell me and I'm here.
Awesome. Yes. Perfect. So in the meantime, we'll say thank you to everybody and we'll say see you in the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you guys so much for listening all the way to the end. You know, if that's the case, then I like to share a little story about what's going on with me lately. And it's funny that Denny picked this date to record our episode because just last night I went to a different concert of someone named Jacob Collier, who was here in Guadalajara. And if you don't know who he is, he's British and he's an absolute music genius. I mean, going to a concert of his is an experience that I would consider transcendent or even ethereal, if you want some vocabulary words there. And right now he's doing a world tour, but he's not really well known in Mexico. So it was a really small setting and it was actually a solo show. The band wasn't there. It was just him. So if you get a chance, also look up Jacob Collier, or as we were chanting last night, Jacobo. And if you want to find out more about what I'm up to lately, be sure to join my community. It's totally free and you can find a whole channel of behind the scenes stuff about what I'm up to. So I hope to see you there. And if not, then I'll catch you in the next episode.